Let's see, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul said to the church at Corinth, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." He said, "For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." But then Paul said, "I'm afraid of something." He said, "There's something that brings about a fear in my heart and in my mind." He said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve." How did he do that? First of all, he showed up there and he convinced her a couple of things. Number one, that God didn't really mean what he said. How many believes today that God does mean what he says? It's Christmas time. But there's still a hell to be shunned. There's still a heaven to be gained. And the cross of Calvary is the whole reason Jesus was born. He told Pilate, "For this cause came I into the world." He knew he was born to die so that you and I might live. What else did Satan do? He caused Eve to believe that God was holding out on her. He caused Eve to believe that if you'll go ahead and do what God told you not to do, then you'll be like him. You'll know good and evil. And he wanted her to believe that God was keeping something good from her. You know, when we're raising children, we have to try to put the poisonous things away and lock them away because we don't want the children to get into that would harm them. You just don't take anything that's poison, set it on the counter where the youngins can get to it, or set it under the sink and leave the doors open. Can I tell you today that just as sure as God knows what's good for us, Satan knows how to come behind the scene and try to convince us that there's something good out there that God's holding out on us. Got these commandments to hurt us, keep us away from the good things. No, beloved, it's to be a wall around us and keep us involved in the good things. But he said here, "Lest Satan, the serpent, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ." Let me say something to you this morning. I'm going to try my best to bring a brief message. I've never thought about bringing a message like this before, but I do know the voice of the Lord when he speaks to my heart. I believe that when you leave here today, you'll understand what's been said, and I believe that it'll leave a mark in our hearts and leave a mark. That's my desire, that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. We're fixing to celebrate Christmas, and most of the world will not even acknowledge the name that's included in Christmas. And that is Christ. Now that's to be expected of the world. But I'll tell you this, beloved, that's not to be expected of God's children. Jesus shouldn't be something just on the perimeter for us as God's children at Christmas. He ought to be the axle that everything is revolving around. He ought to be the focal point of our attention. And I want today to try my best to preach a simple message about the simplicity that is in Christ. Would you pray for me? Pray with me. Father, thank you today for the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, Brother Brian did a great job at Sunday school. Thank you for him. Thank you, Lord, for that he pointed out, that there's just a thin veil between us and eternity. One of us in this meeting could be there before the sun goes down this day. Lord, I thank you that those who are born again, those who are washed in the blood, those who have come to Calvary, they know, our Lord, that to be absent from this old body is to be present with the Lord. I ask you now, Father, to clothe us in our calling. Thank you for these men, Lord, that have filled the gap for us, Lord, in our absence. Thank you for each one that knows so much, Lord, and much of it behind the scenes, never acknowledged, the name never called. But, Lord, you know. And, God, I pray you'd bless each one. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. God, we'll give you glory. If you'll just speak to our hearts one more time, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to talk to you about the simplicity in God's gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said the gift of God is eternal life. I want you to know that you cannot separate eternal life and Jesus. If you get eternal life, it'll be because you received the Lord Jesus. The Bible said in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's a simple message, really. What have you done with Jesus? I'm going to use for an illustration this morning, as the Lord has laid it upon my heart, a little loaf of bread. A little loaf of bread. It's not much, but it is a loaf of bread, and it's small. This is a labor of love. I'm not going to tell you about the hours, because my wife would kill me if I did. I believe you ought to fear God, and I believe you ought to fear your wife. But I promise you this, she has a loaf for every family today. I promise you it's a labor of love. I want to use it for an illustration this morning. And I brought something else with me to the pulpit just in case my wife gets out of line. I brought me a knife, amen. No, that's not for my wife. That's for the bread after a while. Amen. I want to bring a message this morning about the simplicity. The first thing I want to say about the gift this morning, I've already mentioned it, but it's offered by somebody that loves you. If y'all stay with me, we'll learn something this morning. You're sitting here today and you're lost without God. There's a gift offered because somebody loves you. The Word of God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One of the hardest things for my wife to get used to when we were missionaries was being served. Everywhere we went, the church wanted to do something for the missionary. Times like this, Brother Steve, you get around the church and still, no, we don't want you to do anything, Brother Vinoy. Miss Eve, I want to help. No, we don't want you to help. We want to serve you. That's not in my wife's DNA. She wants to serve. Can I tell you, Jesus came to earth so that a gift could be purchased with his own blood and offered to whosoever will. Up on top of the tractor, there was a great big present wrapped up like a gift. And on the side of it said, the gift of God is eternal life. And on top of it, there was a tag, and it said, to whosoever will, from Jesus. Many people are going to go through Christmas and miss the whole meaning of the greatest gift that's ever been offered. That gift, Brother Steve, when it came down in the manger, it looked small. It didn't look like much. Oh, but the difference in history, the difference in eternity that was made by that little gift that God gave to you and to me. I want to give you this morning. Not only was the gift offered in love, but the gift this morning, Brother Thurman, is offered in spite of past hurt. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Brother Steve, when they drove those nails in his hands, when they pulled those thorns in his head, when they drove the nails in his feet, it hurt. When they beat him, it hurt. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with Miss Eve? I'll tell you. There was a time in our ministry when she looked at me and she said, honey, I'll never get close to anybody again. There was a hurt that ran so deep. But heaven's glad this morning we got a Savior that specializes in healing the hurt. And we've got, beloved, a Savior that's offering the gift of God in spite of the hurt that he experienced, the rejection that he experienced. It's offered in spite of the hurt. I looked at my wife when she said that. She remembers it, I know. I said, yeah, you will, baby. I said, yeah, you will. What do you mean? She said, I'll never get close to anybody again. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but there's a bunch of people sitting in this building today that have sweet fellowship with my precious wife. There's a bunch of people in this building today that because Christ was able to hang on that tree and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We have fellowship, Brother Ralph, because we come to know him in the free pardon of sin. So the gift is offered by somebody that loves you. The gift is offered in spite of past hurt. The next thing I wrote down is, beloved, we must believe the gift is being offered. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, you say, well, preacher, all I can see is one loaf of bread. Surely you don't expect us all, Miss Eve, don't expect us all to divide one loaf of bread. That's true, but that's all you can see. But out there's some, and over there's some, and we'd like for you, if you don't stay for the meal, to be sure you get your loaf of bread. There's one for each family. Listen to me carefully. If you do stay for the meal, it'll be offered over in the fellowship hall after a while. Same goes for the children and the teenagers. We hope everybody will stay. But if you don't, we have a gift. The church has a gift for you, a treat bag. We want everybody to have the gift. Amen. And so I need to emphasize sight versus faith. You see, you can't see the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. We must believe that there's a gift being offered. Amen. You can see this gift, but you can't see the gift of God. And yet it is being offered. In order to enjoy it, Brother Ike, it must be received. In order for a transaction to take place with a gift that's being offered, there must be someone to receive it. And so I want you to think for a minute today. Miss Eve is offering this. She's offering this to each family. But in order for it to be what it was meant to be, there has to be a family that receives it. Says, thank you, sister. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for thinking of us. Thank you for the labor of love. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen today. If you miss Miss Eve's gift, you'll make it just fine. But if you miss the gift of God, you'll bust it wide open. Don't miss His gift. It's offered to everyone. The Bible said hell hath enlarged herself. Every time an individual goes to hell without God, it swells. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Because God is saying, I believe this with all of my heart. I didn't make this place for you. I made it for the devil and his angels. I never intended for you to go to this place. It must be received in order to be enjoyed. Then I pinned this down. When the gift of God is received, there are several things that happen. First of all, it would be a shame, Miss Eve, if they took this home and just set it up on the shelf and it turned into a brick by next Christmas. The first thing that would happen is it would be opened. Is that right? You say, preacher, what's that got to do with being saved? I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. Nobody got saved until God opened their understanding. Nobody got saved until God opened their heart. God opens our understanding and we understand that we're the sinner. We understand that He's the Savior. And then willingly we open our heart and say yes to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It has to be opened. When it's open, oh my. How many knows why I just said, oh my? There was an aroma that passed by my nose. You say, preacher, what happens? Well, the Bible said there's a sweet savor. Genesis 8:21, the first time it's mentioned, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Brother Steve, I don't think there's anything in this world that smells any better to our Lord than a sinner opening his heart and saying yes to Jesus. I believe it brings an aroma like praise the Lord. The Bible said, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again accurse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I've done. That's what God said after the flood. In Exodus 29, talking about that savor, the Word of God said, and thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. What was so sweet about it in Exodus? I'll tell you what, it was pointing to Calvary. Pointing to that day that Christ would come. But you know, Brother Grizzle, I can't preach this message without thinking about you. Sometimes I love Brother Grizzle. Sometimes I just can't stand him. He told me one time, he said, preacher, if it tastes good, he said, spit it out because it ain't good for you. Most of the time I take Brother Grizzle's advice. Boy, that's hard to swallow. Especially where I'm standing this morning. But you see, the Word of God said, I want you to watch this now. Oh my. In order for this to be what it needs to be, here's what the Word of God said. Oh my. Taste and see. It's good, baby. You know why some people
are thrilled around the house of God. Some ain't. Some's had a taste. Sister Cindy, some knows how good it is for that guilt to be rolled off of them. How good it is to be saved by the grace of God. Know your name's written in heaven. Know if you die today, heaven will be your home. And some sitting here today, you're just taking my word for it. You know what I hope? I hope you'll take this bread home. And I hope when that bag opens, I hope you'll say, oh God, let my life be a sweet savor unto you. I hope when you taste it, you'll say, that pastor was right. Man, that's good. Forget about what Brother Grizzle said. It's Christmas. I love you, Brother Grizzle. You're a blessing to me. The Bible said in the book of Psalms 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How many can say, I've tasted and he's good? Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let me say this to you this morning. Sister Wanda, you have such a sweet spirit, honey. It's a wonder being married to somebody like Charlie. I can tell you that right now. I know she'll tell him. That's why I said that. You know my wife a little bit, don't you, sis? If she tried to give you that loaf of bread and you wouldn't take it, it'd hurt her, wouldn't it? I wonder, Brother Steve, how the Savior feels. I wonder, Brother Ralph. I'm going to tell you something right now. God wants you to be saved worse than you want to be saved. I wonder how the Savior feels when his gift is laid out there and the Spirit of God knocks at that heart's door. People tell him to go away. Just a simple, simple little gift. I'm going to have to quit looking over there. I'll find me an excuse to get another bite of that. Miss Eve, is that recipe passed on from your mama? Where did it come from, honey?
Sweden.
From Sweden. Where did you get it? Your great-grandmother. Great-great-grandmother. Okay. I should ask her that before I preach, shouldn't I? I will say this. It actually fits the illustration, Miss Eve, better. It really does. But she has the recipe, Brother Steve, because someone was willing to pass it down. And yet, from what she's saying, it wasn't really passed from generation to generation. There was a couple of generations missed. Is that what I'm reading into what you said? Oh, it wasn't. Okay. You're just saying it went from generation to generation, but you're trying to tell me where it started. Okay. Well, that's the way I thought it was. And most of the time, I'm right. But Brother Thurman, here's the burden of my heart. I married a lady. Well, we were teenagers. We're going down the road one day, and I looked over at her. At that time, I didn't call her Miss Eve. I hope y'all understand. But I said, Eve, do you fear God? She said, no, am I supposed to? No gospel passed, Brother Steve, from generation to generation. There was a recipe passed. Her mommy still don't know the Lord. It hurts us. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, listen, if you have tasted and you know the Lord is good, you have an obligation to pass it on to your youngins. Your grand youngins. They can pass it on to their youngins and grand youngins. The recipe, you'll like this. See, I thought it began in Germany. Because my mind don't work real good, but Miss Eve just told me it was Sweden, so I'll take her word for it. I'm about done. But Brother Steve, the recipe started in a land that's far away. Here it is at Christmas time. I just want to stop and say something. If you hate Israel like a bunch of the liberals do in this country, you've got a problem. We're supposed to love Israel. We're supposed to pray for Israel. Glory to God, they gave us a Savior. They gave us a Bible. In a land far away, Brother Steve, you put a slide up there. From what I've been able to study about a manger, I know we do our best to depict it, but the manger, I believe if you study it out, you'll find it was like a big stone and it was just hewn out in the top, and that's where they would feed and water the animals. They would just pour some feed in there, pour some water in there. I'll just say this. Ain't no wonder they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. He'd freeze to death laying on a rock. But in a land far away, Brother Sam, God gave us a recipe. The bread of life would come into this world. He would give us a recipe to escape the domination and the damnation of sin, that we could be saved, that we could go to heaven when we leave this world. I close with this morning. I knew I'd find a way back over here. See them little swirls? Actually, God just gave me something else. You'll find out something about this bread. Brother Steve, the deeper you go, the better it is. See them little swirls? Can you see them little swirls in the middle? Honey, that's more than decoration. That's the stuff that'll make your tongue want to slap your brains out. Here's what I want to say, Brother Rose. See, I'm taking off this outside part. I'll get that good stuff right there. Brother Kenny, I didn't suffer through that. It was an absolute delight. Here's what I want you to remember. Bob, that little bite is a temporary delight. But what I found in Jesus is not going to just last for a little while and then fade away. That's why I'm going to be praising Him while the ages roll. It's because He was willing to come down here. And Paul said, how many believe that's a pretty simple message? Amen. Paul said, I'm afraid, Brother Steve, I'm afraid. that folk will just get away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Don't get away from Him. Not only at Christmas, but any time. Don't get away from Him. Don't get away from Him. I pray the Lord to just leave a mark in our hearts. I pray that nobody will get in a fight over the bread. I pray that the Lord will use it. Brother Rick, some way we'll just remember. It's the simple things. You can't pay somebody to love you. Oh, thank God I got people that love me. You can't pay somebody to love you. But Jesus loves you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. Have you tasted? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The ladies of our church have prepared a wonderful meal. I promise you this, it is not in my heart to go down through there smelling. I'm going down through there with a plate. It might have sideboards on it. But that ain't none of your business. And I'm going to get some out. And God willing, I'm going to find me a place at a table. And I'm going to just say, I ain't taking your word for it. I'm going to taste it for myself. You don't have to take my word for it this morning. You can taste for yourself. God is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Brother Ralph, come get us a song of invitation. Let's bow our heads this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. It's our prayer that God speaks to hearts. The Lord will use the message in some way to be a blessing. You're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. The invitation would be like this. Taste and see. You just come and tell Him, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. Lord, you're perfect. I'm a sinner. You come and tell Him this morning, Lord, I'm just tired of hearing about how good you are. I want to know you. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that when I leave this world, heaven will be my home. Could be this morning. One of the things that made that bread so good is it's fresh. Could be this morning that there's somebody here and you've been saved by the grace of God, but your joy's gone. You're nibbling on stale bread. Can I tell you, God's got some fresh bread for you. He'll give you your joy back. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. You can have a wonderful Christmas. Jesus can be right in the center of all that you do. If you need this altar, would you come? Let's stand singing together. If you need this altar, I beg you, just come. Tell it to Jesus this morning. Would you come? Would you come?